Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
So, hon, before we get started with the program, is there anything that you want to pray about?
Yeah, we could pray about just trying to get our house organized. I think things are just crazy. Everything's so just out of control. I don't know what to even do. It's so frustrating sometimes.
Okay, so how about we pray that the Lord grants you the serenity to accept the things you cannot change.
Oh, great.
And change
yeah,
the things
use the
you can.
Scripture against me. I see how you are.
Willing to make
whatever.
The difference.
Yeah, you're always like that. Why you always do that to me? Pull the pastor card.
Remember,
on the pastor.
You're not supposed to use the word always and never. Those are the two
whatever.
Things that you always learn. Never
you
say never.
You always say that. You never do it.
No. Okay, so you want to start with...
Hey, guys, we're recording.
Oh,
my gosh. Oh. Are you serious?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Fight On with Pastor Kevin Radlin. I mean, Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin.
Hey, this is Lisa. Welcome to Turn the Light On.
We were just messing around with you guys a little bit, but today we have a very special topic for you guys. It's called How to Resolve a Conflict and How to Maybe Even Reconcile a Broken Relationship. So... that was all for fun, so don't think that we're ever really like that.
Never do we ever disagree.
We're constantly in a state of just harmonious glory.
It's like
glory.
We're floating on a cloud in peace.
Our relationship,
exactly.
Right? No, that's not the case at all, but we hope you guys are going to enjoy the program today. We're going to be a little transparent and talk about conflicts and things like that in relationships. You know that in almost every day of our lives, we're going to have opportunities for conflict.
That is so true. And we need to learn how to resolve conflict at work, at church, with your children, with your spouse, in your community, conflict in traffic.
Oh, wow. We're going there?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, no. The road ragers, they're actually road raging while they're listening in their cars right now. No,
we can't avoid the problem or sweep everything under the bed, which reminds me.
You try.
I know, right?
You try.
I still try and sweep things under the bed. When I was a kid, my mom would tell me to clean my room. So right. I would like shove everything under the bed and make the room look so great. And then she'd walk in and go, oh, wow, praise the Lord. You did such a great job cleaning your room. But underneath that bed was hidden chaos. And that's what it's like when we have unresolved conflict. It's like we have hidden chaos. Everything on the outside looks good, but on the inside, we're not put together. We've got all this hidden chaos that we need to resolve.
So are you guys ready to look under the bed of your life? Are you ready to look at a few of those areas when it comes to conflict that, you know, we need to address before the Lord? I mean, because God wants us to get along and he wants us to have peace. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he can overcome you having conflict in your life. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today. So let's head under the bed, pull the junk out. Let's get everything organized. Let's straighten things out. How do we work with unresolved conflict that is really trying to mess up our life?
And it could be mainly relationships. In 1 John 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God, but keeps on hating his brother, he's a liar.
Oh.
For if he doesn't love his brother, who he's right there in front of him, how can he love God, whom he's never seen?
So, in other words, when we get into conflict with other people, with each other, God is expecting us to be mature enough to be able to settle those issues, not to leave them in an unsettled manner. I mean, I think the scripture says, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Be quick to forgive.
Be quick to forgive. Be quick to release things. And I think one of the biggest problems that people face with conflict is that they hang on to bitterness, they get in strife, and now they don't want to talk to each other. I've heard stories of families that haven't talked to each other for 20 years
yes.
over some silly thing that nobody was willing to give in on at any given point. And I always say it this way, you know, Jesus was willing to be wrong even though he was right, so that he could resolve the conflict between us and our Father God. He yes. became our, you know, restoration. He yes. brought the conflict to the table, and he became wrong, and he said, okay, you're right now. Because I was right, I'm giving you yes. the ability to be right.
I did nothing wrong. I'm taking your sin on so that you can walk free from that. And so that is so great.
I think sometimes when it comes to relationships with other people, especially your spouses, especially with your children and people that are really close to you, family members, siblings, are you willing to be wrong, even though you're right, for the sake of resolving the conflict? And then maybe, you know, I've heard so many stories where it came back around and the other person said, I know you sucked it up and you actually admitted that you were wrong, but I know I was wrong.
Right.
Came back around and said, no, I was really wrong, but I appreciated you being willing to say that you were wrong in that moment so that I could actually get past my own temper, past my own emotions, past my own insecurities and the things that are whirling around in those moments, you know, because we go into self-defense mode many times
right.
when we're in a conflict.
We have to swallow our pride, because yeah. really it's our own pride that wants to say, I'm not wrong. Why should I admit that I'm wrong? Why should I apologize? They're the ones that did the wrong thing, and now I have to say I'm sorry. Well, sometimes it takes a little bit of swallowing your pride and going, you know, even though I
so
don't
true.
Feel I was wrong, I'm going to go ahead and apologize yeah. just so I can resolve the situation. And then maybe you never bring that situation up again.
Right. Just let it go.
We're not going to talk about that. Obviously, we don't agree. Maybe we have different political views, but we can still love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I have family members that are on different political views. We just don't talk politics.
Right.
It's kind of hard in this world not to talk politics when you see it everywhere. We're just like, hey, we love each other. We have a common denominator. We're not going to talk politics. We're just going to keep loving each other.
So I think what we're really trying to convey to you guys out there is this idea that we need to be peacemakers. In Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And we could throw daughters in there too. But you know what I'm saying? We have got to be people that are pursuing peace in life. Jesus said, you know, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You see, the world says you can have peace when you prove that you're right and everybody else bows down to you and admits that they're all wrong. And in the Bible, I think a peacemaker and somebody who is blessed in peacemaking is somebody who's willing to say, I will be wrong, even though I do believe I'm right, and I'm going to just surrender and for the sake of peace.
Right. And how do you resolve conflict? I mean, do you run from it? Do you face it? Do you pray, or do you tell others about it?
Yeah.
That's one thing that a lot of people like to do, is like tell someone. It makes you feel justified to say, can you believe yeah. what so-and-so said to me? Can you yeah. believe what this person did to me? But that's just gossiping about the situation. It's not changing it.
Yeah.
Or if people could turn it into a prayer request, like, oh, I wish yeah. you would pray about my husband, Kevin. He's just really snoring
yeah.
a lot at night, and it's really bothering me. Can we pray together about this situation?
Yeah.
Then everyone's like,
really,
oh, I heard you're a snorer.
Attention or sympathy from somebody
right.
else because you're in this conflict.
Right.
And I understand
Makes
that.
You feel justified to go, oh my gosh, this guy did me wrong, and I want everyone to know so they can know how wrong he is.
Right, right. Well, I'm the it's fight or flight, you know. I'm the flight guy. I don't like conflict at all, you know. And it, being a senior pastor and not liking conflict is very troublesome at times, because I'm constantly having to deal with conflict.
And you can't push it under the bed.
It's not just
you can't hide it.
natural conflict with other people, but you have spiritual conflict and
True.
Stuff that you're dealing with, and there's situations and circumstances that have to be dealt with. And but I like to run. I'm like, you know what? Let's put it off. Let's procrastinate. Let's just let this simmer. you know, let it simmer for a little bit, and then maybe we'll come back to it, or hopefully it'll just go away.
I remember back when we were first married, whenever we would get in a fight, you would just get in your truck and take off. Mm-hmm. That would make me so mad, because the way I like to fight, because my dad was one that he would just yell, let it all out, and then he was fine, and then he'd be
everybody
quiet.
Everybody else is brutalized.
So I'm waiting for someone to yell at, like, come on, just get over here. Why are you leaving? We're trying to resolve this. You have to be here so I can yell at you. Yeah. Now I've realized that yelling doesn't solve anything either. And I'm like, talk to me in a proper voice. I don't need you to be yelling at me. I can hear you just fine. Let's just talk it out. You know, take turns.
A good friend of yours, Beverly, man. And she shared a story with you one time.
Yes, it really helped.
How
helps.
She dealt with her kids. Why don't
yes,
with
because
the conflict
I would,
and stuff in her kids. Why don't you share that?
Yes, because
this is for you, Beverly.
My kids would fight, and then of course I would start yelling at them.
Yeah.
Because they're fighting.
Screaming at
stop
top of your lungs.
Fighting. What
What's
is going on?
You?
You know, you guys need to clean up this mess and whatever. And it was like they would get to the point where they just ignored my yelling, like, oh, she's at it again.
Or they wouldn't do anything until you yelled.
Right.
When you normally talk to them.
Exactly. So when I talked to Beverly about this, she's like, you know what I do? She's like, I whisper. She's like, then my kids are listening. They're like, what is she whispering about? I stopped yelling and I started whispering, like, hey guys, we can't fight like this anymore. Hello, we're going to clean up our room, you know? And she said, as I started whispering, it almost like shocked them. They're just like, what is she doing? You know, they're paying more closer attention and they'd start doing what I said. She's like, they weren't ignoring me. They weren't tuning me out anymore. They were actually paying attention. So I started doing that. I was talking in a quieter voice and just whispering, and it really actually worked. So I was like, okay, this is way better than yelling. I'm going to start doing this from now on. And it definitely did help. But the enemy, the devil, wants to especially cause conflict in the church. I mean, look around. That's why there's so many different denominations.
Oh, yeah.
Conflict
for sure.
About how you should dress, conflict about how you should wear your hair, if you should wear jewelry or not.
I've never been in any conflict about how to wear my hair lately.
Actually, though, when you first went to church, you went to a Baptist church and they're like, get a haircut. You need to get a haircut,
yeah, they
boy.
They did, actually. That
you need to take your hat off.
Haircut, boy. Oh, hats
take
in
your
church.
Hat off. You're in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, that's...
We had a friend that went to a graduation ceremony at a church. It was at a Baptist church and he was wearing a hat and they're like, hey, sir, you need to remove your hat. He's like, it's graduation. You see all those people up there wearing hats? All those people that, oh, well, they're graduating. Okay, so it's proper to wear a hat if you're in a graduation ceremony and you're one of the graduates, but if you're a participant, it's not proper.
I know.
He's so like, funny. How about I throw my hat up in the air when they throw their hats up in the air?
Yeah. One thing I want to look at real quick is conflict that can be caused by personality clashes. You know, there's a lot of different personality types out there. You know, you've got your introverted people, your extroverted people. You've got people that are operating in acts of service and other people that are looking for quality time.
Or words of affirmation.
Things like that. And we do a lot of personality gifts and classes here at the church on that. So you might want to check on the church website or in the church bulletin for something like that. But, you know, your personality can rub other people's personalities the wrong way. So if you recognize and understand that you're a little demanding sometimes, maybe, you know, you're a little more choleric. You are like, you do this, you do this, you do this, and let me know when it's done. And another person is more like, you know, free-floating kind of, you know, free-spirited, sanguine, everybody, life of the party personality. If you know somebody's personality type, you can actually minister to them better by actually not creating conflict that's going to, infiltrate their personality type.
Right, right.
You know? So you can actually help them to grow, because I think personality clashes are a huge part of conflict. And, you know, people fall into misunderstanding and then they start to rebel against authority and things like that in their life because that authority is operating from a different personality type than they are, and they're not used to operating that way, or
right.
They don't operate that way. So now there is a conflict there. But if both people knew the other's personalities and how they operate, they wouldn't be as offended.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of offense happens because people just aren't able to understand the different personalities that people have.
And so, even the way we show love, like for me, quality time is the thing that I like to have, quality time. So I want to just spend time with you, sit on the couch, read the Bible together, just have quality time. And you're like acts of service. So you'll go outside and wash my car for me and clean my car and think, oh, I'm really showing my wife love. And then I'm like, what's the matter with him? He doesn't love me. He's not spending
He'd
any time
wash
with
the
me.
Car.
And you're like, what are you talking about? I just washed your car for you, of course, you know, like, but I just want time with you.
right, so good.
But the enemy wins when we're in conflict, and he's a strife sower, and so we're not going to let the enemy win. In your marriage, you're going to have conflict. In your church, you're going to have conflict with your siblings.
Ooh, hold on, let's talk about church conflict for a minute. As a pastor, you know, the enemy, Satan, wants to especially cause conflict in the church. Look around. That's where and why there's so many things going on.
Yeah, so, I mean, the music is too loud. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I need to have the music lowered. They need to lower it. That's why we have earplugs. Like, okay, we're trying to help everyone, okay?
You know,
I mean, you have Bibles.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have a Bible study, and there's one person in that Bible study that will never shut up, and you're just like, oh my gosh, will they just give someone else a turn to talk?
Yeah, right.
And then you have another person, and they just won't even say
and
a word.
Someone else, they won't say a word, yeah. So what are some, like, you know, we've got all kinds of different things that happen at church. And, you know, we've got to be careful. Guys, we've got to be careful that we don't let offense through conflict, you know, take over our attitudes towards people. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. He knows that any kingdom that is divided against itself will
fall.
Be brought to desolation. So your church, your local church where you attend, is like a little kingdom of God's kingdom. And if Satan can get in there and he can divide the church, if he can split the leaders, if he can pin everybody against each other because of conflict, you know, they'll spend more time fighting and nobody's worshiping God. Nobody's being a family. Nobody's doing anything to, you know, create love and
unity.
And unity.
What's the best way to resolve conflict in church? I know. We leave. I feel led to go to a different church. God's calling me somewhere else. Rather than face this situation and try and bring resolution, we hightail it out of there just to go to another church where you bring yourself with you. And there's always going to be someone somewhere at that church that won't get along with you. And then you got to hop out of there and go to a different church because anywhere you go, there's people. And so you go here, you go there, you're going to have some sort of conflict, some sort of personality conflict. And it's like, what's the point? Are we going to walk in love and try and resolve it? Or are we just going to keep leaving and going somewhere else?
Yeah, when I was a drug addict, I was like, man, I've got to get out of town. I've got to get out of this town. There's drugs everywhere. And I need to find somewhere new to live. I went to live with my dad. And when I got up there, it was amazing. I've quickly discovered that drugs were there too. And I found every possible way and venue for that to happen. Well, it's no different with conflict at your church. If you think just leaving your church is going to solve the problem, then the sad part is you're a part of that
you're
problem.
Part of the problem.
And I was the problem.
You were addicted
and
to drugs.
It's not that
no matter
you're
where
the
you
only
went.
Person that's the problem, because other people that you have conflicts with have problems too. I'm not saying it's all your fault, but I am here to say that you have the ability to walk in the power of Matthew 5:9. You can be a peacemaker. You can be blessed and called the sons and daughters of God because you are willing to stay the course, resolve the conflicts, and begin to look people in the eye and go, hey, you know what? We're disagreeing. Let's find some middle ground. Let's look at what we can do to be better towards each other and stay in unity and love the Lord together in a family. And it's no different in your families. Church isn't the only place. There are a lot of people that run away from their families. You got kids that leave their homes at as soon as they're old enough, because right. they're like, I don't want to be here anymore because you guys tell me what I have to do. And then they go out and do what they want to do.
Right.
And they end up back at their parents' house later because they fall into addiction. They end up getting somebody pregnant. They fall into all these circumstances and situations that the parents were trying to help them avoid. And they saw it as conflict and they didn't see it as wisdom, and ended up in a huge problem in their own lives.
I mean, what about in your marriage? If you marry someone that doesn't do or act or say what you want, now it's time to leave that person. Got to get divorced.
Yep.
I mean, how many times are you going to get married and divorced?
Right.
You're going to realize that, guess what? That person isn't going to be perfect. No one that I marry is going to do everything exactly the way I want them to do it. I still have to love that person with their flaws and commit that, I made a commitment to this person. We're going to work these details out. We're going to stay married no matter how much we don't get along. We're going to work it out, and God's going to restore love.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you made a commitment. You need to stay with it.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain situations, if someone's abusive or something like that, I kind of want to throw that disclaimer in. We're not saying that you should stay in an abusive situation
Correct,
or something like that. But a lot of people aren't leaving marriages because of abusive situations. They're leaving marriages because they're not getting their way. And they want things the way they, you know, do all of that. So, yeah, it's crazy. So.
Okay, so also, one of the best ways to resolve conflict is to control your anger. We have to love people enough to deal with our conflict with them in love and not in anger. So in Acts 59:39-41, Barnabas wanted to take John along, the John that was nicknamed Mark, but Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter. As soon as the going got tough, he jumped ship on Pamphylia, tempers flared, and they ended up going in separate ways. So anger caused them to go separate ways because their egos flared and they parted ways.
Yeah.
So you need to get control of your anger and not let the anger control you.
And think of the ministry they could have potentially done together and how powerful that could have been. But the enemy was able to divide them. And if he can divide you through conflict, he can conquer you and he can actually get you out of the overall thing. If you look at all those animal shows, you know, the lions that are hunting the packs, you know, they always find the weaker link and they try to divide them away from the pack and then they attack.
And Satan comes about like the roaring lion. They said he comes to devour. So that's another key in there.
Yeah, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? Through conflict.
Exactly.
Through disagreements, through arguments, through... You know,
and once again, we need to harness our emotions and not be led by our emotions, but be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is telling us to love one another just as He has loved us. So that's what we need to do, walk in love and choose to not let anger get in our way.
Yeah. A true sign of spiritual maturity is that Matthew 5, you know, be a peacemaker. Be willing to be wrong, even though maybe you're right, for the sake of someone else being able to get past the overall emotions of the moment of conflict and then maybe come back around and say, you know what, I needed the space and I appreciate you giving it to me to figure out that I was wrong. And other people will never admit they're wrong. It's okay. You just keep moving, but at least you brought peace to the situation, right? So, hey guys, we hope you're enjoying this, you know, message on conflict. It's always a challenge. And we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and just wrap the program up here in just a moment. So no fighting while we're on this break.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-9853. 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God. Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you. All right, everybody, we are back to Turn the Fight On. I mean, Turn the Light On here at 91.5 FM. I've got my wife, Lisa, here, and it's been an interesting conversation. I hope you guys have been encouraged. You've been inspired. I want to jump back in and just finish off the program talking a little bit about just grudges, okay? So why don't you read this scripture in Ephesians for us?
In Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, this is in the Living Bible. If you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you're angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil.
Yeah. So, that's crazy.
It's not a sin to be angry, but it is a sin to let anger control you.
You know what I love about the Word of God? Even though it is the Living translation, the Word of God is basically looking at you and it's saying, hey, buddy, get over it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
isn't that what everybody loves to hear when you're in the middle of a conflict?
That used to make me so mad. You would just say, you'll get over it.
You'd be fighting and you'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, get over it.
No, you'll say, you'll get over it. I'm like, no, I won't get over it. I want to hold that grudge. I want to make you pay.
Yeah, right. And you did many times, actually. But you know what, guys? If you're out there and you're nursing a grudge, you've got an issue with somebody, you're struggling with people, you're going to have to get over it.
Let it go.
You're going to have to let it go.
Let it go.
You're going to have to step out of yourself and into the Lord, where forgiveness resides, where mercy resides, where grace lives in Christ, and maturely step out of your emotions and into the power of God through faith, and you're going to be able to walk in complete and total forgiveness and restoration in these relationships where the grudges are living. Because you know what? That's the enemy.
Ask God to help you too, because that is living in freedom. When you can walk in forgiveness with someone and walk in love and look at them and not feel any anger or resentment toward him, that is living in freedom. And God wants us to be free. So we need to live in freedom and walk in forgiveness.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And that's really the whole goal of the program today, is we want you free from grudges. We want you free from anger. We want you free from the frustrations of all the disagreements and the conflict that is coming after you personally in your life. We've dealt with it in our lives and are dealing with it every day in our lives, and we know that you're dealing with it. And the only real answer is Jesus Christ.
Love. His he love, is love.
His grace, his forgiveness. In Christ, you can do all things. Because he will give you the strength.
Amen.
Right? So we're praying for strength for each and every one of you. God bless you guys, and thanks for tuning in to Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.